When did you first learn of the they're going to start enforcing these rules, these specific rules that they I guess they haven't been as strict upon?
We talked about them at the owners' meetings. So that's when they go over any rule changes or emphases. So we have a meeting with the officials at that, and then they present it to the whole board and talk about if there are any. That's the same day they talk about, you know, all the rule proposals that went through with the uprights and whatever, and they get voted on. So
I asked Pat yesterday about, like, what types of receivers would benefit most from, and he said, like, less physical ones. I wasn't sure if you felt the same way about...
No, because the rule, the only thing I think with the rule that's different is that you can't collision after 5 yards, but for 5 yards you can collision, so that hasn't changed. So, you know, I think
the man press element,
they're going to get in your face and cover you for 5 yards the way they've always covered you for 5 yards. And it's really not a rule change, it's just an emphasis, as I think some people were getting the same physical they were getting 1 through 5, they were getting 6, 7, 8, and 9 yards down the field. They're just cleaning that part of it up. So,
do you think Seattle's success played into this at all?
I didn't really study Seattle and because we haven't played them, but I know they're not getting called for a lot of it, so I think sometimes it's the same thing. I heard people say that Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams were going to be in trouble, but that's not how those guys play either. So I think sometimes people just assume if you're a bigger corner, you have to be a hands-on guy after 5 to 6 yards, but it's just you can be a hands-on guy, but it's got to be within 5 yards. So.
How deep into the game will the starters go on Thursday night?
We haven't figured that whole part out just because we got 2 more days of training, so we'll figure, you know, what do we get accomplished today and tomorrow, and then there's some positions you're trying to figure out. Who's up, who's down, what are we going to do? So when we'll meet again tomorrow as a staff after tomorrow morning's training session, and then we get a full idea. So there's no reason for us to talk about it today because you may have a guy get hurt today, or, hey, we know this guy's going and that guy's going. So we sort that all out on Wednesday.
Do you have enough video on Sean's toe and whether or not he'll be
able
to go on?
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever play again. No, he's fine. He practiced full yesterday. He's fine. It's not as big an issue as I think anybody's made it out to be. So.
What's Brad Smith's injury?
Brad has a groin, and I don't know if he's going to go. He's going to see what he can do today or tomorrow. So, but I don't think it's not an extended thing. So if he doesn't play Thursday night, he'll be at practice on Saturday. So,
how much work has Nolan Carroll been able to do these last couple of days?
Nolan's done everything, you know, in the last couple of days, and that's another guy we're monitoring. So then just trying to put a plan together on tomorrow afternoon of how many reps we need to get him, because he needs to get some reps because he hasn't played in the first 2 preseason games, has been really, really good up until he had the groin. So he's responded well in the last 2 days. We'll see how it goes today and tomorrow, but we need to get him in the game. How many specific plays, we haven't really dialed that one in yet.
Have you had a large enough sample size in the preseason games to see if the special teams has improved the way you wanted it to be personnel-wise?
No, we still got 2 more preseason games, so after 2, no.
Last year, Coach, Sean seemed very upset to have missed 1 practice with a sore toe. Is that typical how this guy practices?
No, I mean, LeSean's a competitor and wants to be out there, so I mean, it was just 1 incident. I mean, I don't. There's a lot of questions about a toe for a practice in August that I think is way overblown.
Not so much about the toe, but his intensity as a practice player. Good as he is.
It's okay. Some days he's great out there, and there's other days he's not so great. So,
Huff, do you have anything more specific about?
I just wish nothing's broken. He's got to rehab the shoulder. He won't play this week against the Steelers. But there's no timetable in terms of
separation.
They just told me nothing's broken, and he's rehabbing right now. So,
no surgery or anything.
No surgery. There's nothing scheduled for that. So, it's a rehab situation for him. So.
Brent Celek had the 1 play last game where his helmet got knocked off and he sprang back up. We've seen so many of those over the years. Just what does his toughness kind of bring to the offense and due to the players around him?
I think Brent sets a tone for not only the offense, but I think everybody here, you know, in terms of his physical toughness and his mental toughness. You know, he's a guy that I think you can count on a daily basis. He's always out there. You know, he loves playing football. And that just, you know, for some guys, they may have been down for a long time and had the trainers come visit him and then get carted off and all those other things. I think he takes a lot of pride in his toughness and never wants to lay on the field. And, you know, he's a guy that I think the people, especially on this team, when you watch him on a daily basis in terms of what he does, really admire how he plays the game.
How is Fletcher Cox's development coming along as he continues to transition to 34? Is he part of the possible solution to adding
pass rush element?
Yeah, I mean, Fletcher's always been a very good inside pass rusher for us. It starts for us on our inside nickel team. But I think Fletcher's transition, he's done a really, really nice job, played really well in terms of what he asked him to do. Didn't play a ton of snaps against the Patriots, but when he was in there, his technique was good, his production was good, you know, and we're really excited about where Fletcher's headed and been really happy where he's been so far in camp.
When you look at the starting defense and upside and guys reaching ceilings, is Michael Kendricks one of those guys where you think that he hasn't even tapped into all of his abilities?
I think no one has tapped into all their abilities. I think there's still, you know, you've only played two preseason games so far this year. You hope that what you see right now isn't the maximum you're going to get out of everybody. I think everybody's still growing, everybody's still learning, everybody's still moving forward, but you know, Michael's a guy that I think you saw him improve as the season went along last year. You know, I think he started this year's camp ahead of where he was in last year's camp, obviously, and is progressing. But, you know, he's got a skill set that when you look at him, he can be an extremely productive player in this league and has made some really big plays. It's just now can we continue to get it on a consistent basis.
Our running backs, Josie and Llewellyn and Tucker, have done some pretty nice things in the preseason. Polk hasn't been able to get out there. How big of a factor is that, you know, evaluating him when it comes time to making the roster?
It's a big factor. I mean, you got to be able to play, you know, and it's tough for us to say, you know, we know what you can do, but if you got to also go out in the field and show it. And it's the same thing for Llewellyn and Tuck because they didn't play against the Patriots, you know, and I think the one thing about Henry is he took advantage of those reps, you know, and if you watched us on the last drive, we were down to Henry and Damaris, you know, and you hoped you had a bigger back, you know, you get the ball on the goal line. You hope you got a little bit bigger back there, but Tucker and Llewellyn are really in the same boat that Polk is. You know, we need to see who's going to go and who's going to be able to play, but we can't evaluate anybody if they're not going to play in games or in practice. So
it's hard to quantify in games D'Amico Ryan's and what he means to the defense in terms of getting them lined up. I think we saw in the game there were some issues with alignment. Can you explain, I mean, what that means to the defense to have a guy like out there, and how do you counterbalance that against what he can do in terms of just playing football?
Well, he can play football. You know, he was only in 15 plays, and I think he was in on 5 tackles. So, tremendous football player, tremendous instincts. But the basic way to look at it is he's the quarterback of our defense. So it would be like going out there on offense without a quarterback. You know, who's going to call the plays? And D'Amico's the guy that calls the plays. And not only does he have to call the plays, he has to make all the audibles. So if we have a defense called, but they come out in a different formation, he's the guy that has to make the check in terms of what we're doing. And that's where one of the things he really excels at. He always puts us in the right situation, gets us lined up, and you know, there's a lot to that, you know, and to go along with his ability to key and diagnose and figure out the plays that are coming at him, I think, you know, we feel very, very comfortable in terms of where D'Amico is. That's why he didn't play a ton in the first preseason game, didn't play a ton against the Patriots, because I think we know what we have with D'Amico, and we need him. The big thing is who else do we have at that position, and that's where that depth at inside linebacker is a real key situation that we'll continue to look at in these last two preseason games.
What kind of impact has Brad Smith had on a guy like Jordan Matthews and maybe some of the other younger players?
You know, Brad came in last year, I think it was game 11, but the one thing that you knew right from the get-go is just how professional his approach is to the game, how hard he works at it, how hard he studies film. You know, he's a real selfless player. He's a four-core special teams player for us. He'll return kicks. He'll be the first guy to make the tackle. You know, he plays inside receiver, he plays outside receiver, he's played some running back for us, he's our emergency quarterback. You know, he's just one of those guys that will do whatever it takes for us to win a game. But when you see his approach here every day in the building, how he takes care of his body, how he pays attention, the notes he takes in meetings, I think he's been a real good role model for guys like Jordan and Josh and those younger receivers that we have.
What's your understanding of what Polk's injury is, and has he been cleared by trainers to practice?
He has a hamstring injury. That's a pull, and until he can go we'll see. That's all I get. So,
has he been cleared by the trainers?
No, a lot of that has to do with the pain that they feel. So there's not a clearing. It's a, you know, you can tell them it's not a bone where you can take an x-ray and say it's 100% healed. So, you know, he goes out there, and most of the time when you've seen him, he's been out with the strength coaches working on him. But he has to give feedback on how it feels. So it's, you know, I don't think it's Chris Peduzzi's right to say you're 100%, you have to go 100% when he says I can't go 100%. So, but it is a hamstring, and sometimes for some guys they respond a little quicker, and other guys they take a little while, and that's the tough thing with that type of injury. So,
if Thursday's the last game exposure for the starters in the preseason, what would you like to see? It
may not be, so
it
you never
be,
know.
But if it is, what would you like to see?
100 points and a shutout.
Is there anything specifically?
No, I just want to see guys play. You know, I don't think we have any preconceived notions that it has to be this, 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 or this. It's just go out and play and get valuable reps. And you know, you'd like to get in situations if you can, but sometimes you can't get in situations. It'd be great to get in a two-minute situation, but if we don't get they're in a two-minute situation, then our defense gets it. You know, so you'd like to see how they respond to adversity, but you really don't want them to respond to adversity because that means we've made mistakes, but you'd like to kind of see what happens if we throw an interception. How do we go back out in the field? There's a lot of different things that can come up that are positive things as you're building towards a season, but there's also, you know, sometimes you have to do negative things to get positive things, but we're not going to manufacture it and say, hey, let's throw a pick here, put ourselves in a bad situation and see how we respond. So we just need reps, you know, and I think everybody feels the same way. There's some guys that need a lot more reps just because they haven't played in the first two preseason games. You got to get out there and run around, you know, with officials when it's live, when they're tackling and doing all those other things. So.
Is it fair to say, from what you said before, that DeMeco is your most indispensable player? I mean, we're not used to.
No, I think there's a lot of guys like that. I mean, you just go around the board. You know, I think Jason Kelce, in terms of what he means to setting things up front, you know, there's a quarterback is like that. You know what I mean? I know, think everybody would be kind of sad here if LeSean McCoy's toe injury was so grievous that we could never have him again. So, I mean, there's a lot of indispensable players. It's just in how our defense is run, our Mike linebacker is the guy that's making the calls and really is the quarterback on the defensive side. But, you know, we're grooming other guys to that position. You know, if not because we don't think DeMeco can do it, it's just if DeMeco gets hurt or sprains an ankle, then obviously that'll be that's going to be an interesting transition in terms of seeing who takes over for him if D'Amico's not around.
How do you like Gardner at tackle, new guy, and what do you feel about your depth? Because you're not going to have Lane for those first four games at all.
Andrew's done a really nice job. You know, I think he was a real good acquisition for us. And he's done a really good job on the left side. Him and Tobin have worked very, very well together. And then the one thing with Matt Tobin is we know he's a tackle also. He's played a little bit in practice. The only reason he played there the other day in practice is Graf was sick, so didn't practice. So we're just trying to get him some reps. But, you know, you're really looking for that depth in the in behind those five guys of who's really – because a lot of times you have seven guys active on game day. So who's the center guard candidate and who's the guard tackle candidate? Because in every game we played last year, we only kept seven linemen up. So Alan Barbary was the guard tackle guy. So whether a guard went down or a tackle went down, Alan was going in the game. And then Julian – is a center guard candidate, so that if all of a sudden one guard was down, Julian can go in and play the other guard. So, what's that?
Play guard.
That's where we don't know that yet. You know, he hasn't done it yet because we're trying to still get him all his reps at center. But when you get into game day and you only get seven guys active, if we had to play a game today and if it was Molk and Tobin up, Tobin would be the first guard in. You know, but he's also the first tackle in. So.
Is there any plan for Lane Johnson, you know, when he leaves the team, and I guess 10 days, he has to be away for 30 days. Is there any plan for him as to what he needs to be doing in that month away? Or?
Yeah, he's got a workout plan and what he can study and what he can do. I mean, he's got his notes from camp and all those other things. But, you know, I know we're not allowed to have any contact with him from the day he leaves until he comes back. So a lot of it is on him and what he's, you know, he'll get a strength and conditioning program that he can take with him, and he'll get – all his notes and things to study from that standpoint, but then that's entirely up to him when he's away. So.
Well, you guys were